This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. To Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill, the Enron collapse was a demonstration of, quote, the genius of capitalism. Our linguist Jeff Nunberg was struck by that remark and the way defenders of the free market system have reclaimed the word capitalism for their own.
In the wake of the Enron collapse, some Bush administration officials were describing it as a vindication of the free market system. Economic advisor Larry Lindsay called it a tribute to American capitalism, and Treasury Secretary Paul O'Neill made the same point even more fulsomely. Companies come and go, he said. Part of the genius of capitalism is that people get to make good decisions or bad decisions, and then they get to pay the consequence or enjoy the fruits of their decisions. That's the way the system works. As even Business Week and Fortune pointed out, it wasn't exactly the moment for bromides about the genius of capitalism, particularly since the people who'd made the bad decisions at Enron weren't the ones who were paying most of the consequences. But Lindsay and O'Neill didn't intend to sound callous. Rather, their remarks showed just how reflexive this sort of rhetoric has become among free market zealots. It's not just the way they greet each corporate collapse as a triumph of capitalism, but the fact that they mention capitalism at all. 15 or 20 years ago, free market partisans would have been more likely to say, that's how our free enterprise system works. Capitalism's never been a dirty word exactly, but it's always had a polemical tone ever since it was given its modern sense by socialist writers in the mid-19th century. The phrase free enterprise was invented by economists about 100 years ago in order to dispel the noxious images that had grown up around the word capitalism: bloated plutocrats, workers bent over their machines, strike breakers, and the rest. Free enterprise wears its ideology on its sleeve. It suggests a connection between political freedom and the right to go about your business without the meddlesome interference of bureaucrats. By the way, another word that acquired its pejorative sense around then. And in place of predatory monopolists like Carnegie and Rockefeller, who were giving capitalism a bad name, free enterprise conjures up the plucky young newsboys from the rags-to-riches tales of Horatio Alger. For most of the 20th century, free enterprise has been the homey Chamber of Commerce name for capitalism. There's a chair of free enterprise at the University of Texas at Austin, a center for free enterprise at the University of South Florida, a Dr. Pepper Free Enterprise Institute in Waco, and a Free Enterprise Leadership Conference held every year by the Jesse Helms Center in Wingate, North Carolina. And the word capitalism doesn't appear at all in the web pages of the Horatio Alger Society, a group that honored Kenneth Lay a couple of years ago for, as they put it, helping young people to value the opportunities presented by America's free enterprise system. Still, capitalism has always had some defenders who weren't reticent about calling it by its given name, particularly the disciples of Ayn Rand and of libertarian economists like Ludwig von Mises and Friedrich Hayek. These tend to be people who come to the defense of capitalism with something more like religious zeal. You could hear some of that in the exuberant profession of faith that Kenneth Lay made to an interviewer a while ago. "I believe in God and I believe in free markets," he said, and went on to suggest that Jesus would have agreed with him. Needless to say, that level of zeal changes the terms of the discussion. When people extol the virtues of free enterprise, they usually invoke the rising standard of living and the inventions it spawns. When they talk about the virtues of capitalism, they're more likely to go on about the moral values of individualism and the freedom to fail, the lesson that both O'Neill and Lindsay were quick to read in the Enron debacle. It's a little scrap of bombast you can trace directly back to Ayn Rand's turgid philosophizing, the notion that capitalism is never so glorious as when it's strewing the ground with bodies. There was a time when this kind of talk was considered a little irresponsible by the respectable free marketeers who were earnestly promoting the virtues of free enterprise over socialism and the welfare state. But after the fall of communism and the freewheeling markets of the 90s, capitalism is back, and free enterprise has started to sound a little musty. It's gotten to where the word capitalism was probably as frequent inside the ballrooms at the World Economic Forum in New York as it was on the signs of the demonstrators in the street. But the right's reclamation of the word capitalism hasn't extended to its cousin capitalist. Forbes magazine tried to reclaim that word a while ago when it started billing itself as a capitalist tool. But capitalist is still in the closet, at least when it comes to using it as a job description. People talk about capitalist societies or capitalist economies, and you can describe somebody as a venture capitalist, which is really just a derivative of venture capital. But Forbes and the Wall Street Journal don't ever apply the C word to people like Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, or Rupert Murdoch. Those are investors, entrepreneurs, moguls, or simply businessmen. Reading the business press, you might conclude that America has finally realized the dream of building capitalism without capitalists, that we're free at last from the rapacious class that once held the economy at its mercy. As Secretary O'Neill put it, it's just the way the system works.
Jeff Nunberg is the author of the new book, The Way We Talk Now. This is Fresh Air.